And we do welcome you to the CNC Auto Show. I am here with co-host Justin Courtney.
Glad to be here.
We have been having a great time answering questions, and we have been talking about automotive technology or new power sources.
All sorts of things.
Yeah, just a lot of things. And one of the main things that we love doing is answering automotive questions.
And they have been going hard this morning.
Yeah, we've been going strong. And
all day so
when
far.
When we had to pull over off the road a few minutes ago, we were talking with Paul, and Paul had a GMC Arcadia. And Paul, I think you mentioned it. Your car was in the body shop, and you have been waiting for exhaust parts to come in. And it sounds like it's going to take a long time. Does that sound right?
Yeah, it looks like June or July before they're going to come in because of the delays from the factory.
Yeah. I would not have the aftermarket exhaust put on there. I mean, that's the main thing to start with. I would recommend having the factory parts. Now, here's one thing I found in the past. Paul, have you done any of the research on the parts yourself?
No, I haven't.
Okay. Here's what happens. And this also happens here.
Sure.
As a matter of fact, we talked with our fantastic parts person, Jesse.
Jesse.
And he's real good about a lot of things. But many times he will call one place and they'll say, no, that's on back order. You can't have that until a week from now. And so we have a car that needs to be repaired and the customer wants it repaired, but we don't have the parts. So What we do is we sit down and talk about doing a search. And I say, Jesse, man, let's check a lot of other places. And more often than not, by far, somewhere we find that part. I would recommend
it's sitting in a dealership on a shelf somewhere in Michigan or something.
I would do so. I would get on the computer, ask the body shop exactly what parts you're going to need, and start doing the research and find out if you can locate those parts anywhere yourself. Because I would just about bet, just like Justin mentioned, that somebody's going to have them on the shelf somewhere.
That body shop doesn't count on your car like you do. So I'm sure that they have a parts guy who's doing what he's his best, but he called a few places, says, oh, it's going to be this long, and he just went with that, or she. But you might be a little more diligent.
Yeah.
And it's a bummer that you might have to start doing your own legwork, but it might help and it might work.
Well, Paul, we've had that happen to us before. We've had parts to where we have looked for and they're saying it's going to take 3 or 4 days to get. And we call two or three different places and the customer called back and said, hey, we're not going to have one tomorrow. So it happens. So do that research yourself. Try to locate that part. If there's no way to locate it, I would not put anything other than factory type stuff on the exhaust. It's made with, Justin mentioned during the break, that's stainless steel.
Stainless. The catalytic converter is going to be a higher quality piece.
Yeah. Aftermarket converter could cause a problem, check engine lights, things like that.
It probably won't rattle and bump against the floor and rattle against there's probably some competent exhaust people, but with a newer model vehicle like that, I hate to, if it was a 84 Accord or something, I'd go to the exhaust shop and have a muffler welded onto it, but something like that.
And Paul, if you can't find it on the internet, find someone under the age of 15. They'll find it.
They'll find it.
There you go. Well, it's going to have to wait till Monday because I'm on my way to Dagan, and I was kind of hoping you and Justin come along with me.
Where are you going?
Talladega.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, we'll meet you right out front in about 30, 45 minutes.
Yeah. I had a friend of mine sent me pictures of that. He was there. He got there on Friday morning, and he sent me pictures of the track, and he said, I'm here. He's going to be camping up there all week. So that is neat. Yeah.
Well, you enjoy.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for the advice.
Have a fun, safe trip, Paul.
Yes, sir. Enjoy Talladega.
Bye-bye.
All right.
Okay. Let's mention real quick on hybrid vehicles.
We had all these great topics we talked about this morning, and
And I hope we don't get a chance to talk about hardly any of them.
We'll be happy to take the callers.
Yep. Matter of fact, let's wipe the hybrid out. Let's go. Let's talk to our wonderful callers. Let's just.
Well, we got Richie, who has been there for a while.
Let's do that. Let's talk to Richie. Hello, Richie, and welcome to the CNC Auto Show.
Well, thank you for having me on here. I was trying to answer the question for the tech tip.
Oh, outstanding.
Okay, Richie, you know not to move even a frontal lobe.
Stand still.
I don't know where that come from.
Where did that come from?
I don't know. It's a sickness. Okay, here we go. Okay, question is, Jill drove her 2018 Toyota Prius 75 miles per hour, almost 2 hours, to get to her destination. She had something done to the Prius at her destination and drove the same route back going 75, but it took her over 3 hours to get back. The route and the traffic was the same. She did not break down on side roads. She didn't get pulled over and get a ticket. And Richie, what is the answer to today's Tech Tip Quiz?
Make us proud.
Yes.
I think she had her tire size changed and didn't get it recalibrated.
You know that, Richie, that's not the answer, so I'm going to go ahead and do this in advance to get that out of the way.
We had one last week said
Richie,
that.
Richie, I'm going to tell you, though, that is a little bit closer than almost everything that is done.
That's in the same realm of kind of things.
I might go ahead and throw this hint out there. She had the car washed while she was there. That's what she had done when she got there.
And the interior detail.
Yeah, and the interior detail. Yeah. So you want to
put the ticker on.
Let's give them about 10 seconds. Richie, the pressure's on, man.
I am totally lost.
Yeah, come on, Richie. All right. Hey, we do appreciate you giving it a good shot. Thank you.
Thank you for waiting so long,
Thanks
Richie.
For having me.
Yes, bye-bye. Okay, number to call, 800-224-9090. Let's shoot right over to Ron. Ron, welcome to the CNC Auto Show, and what can we help you with?
Hey, Ron.
Oh, guys, I was just going to talk about new technology for a second, but with that question, that tech tip question, if we're going to be sticklers.
You want to get up on stage for this?
Well, no, it's just a comment because God only knows what the answer will be.
Uh-huh.
But since we're such sticklers now in the 21st century to follow the science, if you're going 75 miles an hour in 2 hours, that makes you 150 miles away. If you're traveling 75 miles an hour going 5 hours away, that's 375 miles.
Mm-hmm.
So it's got to do something with a global positioning device, transmission, odometer, something screwed up in there. But what I wanted to tell you about was that they got this new technology I saw the other night on one of the science programs where they have a system up underneath the vehicle that reads and understands this electronics that they put in the pavement, and it will recharge the vehicle as they're going down the road.
Wow.
Some kind of an inductive type.
They've got it
type.
Started in Sweden, I think France, and of all places, Detroit, Michigan. And they're doing it in this one-mile stretch.
Uh-huh.
Now, it only cost a little over $11 million
per mile.
For a mile.
Uh-huh.
And so since we're such a country that can produce money like it's going out of style, we'll have this technology all over.
Sure, we just print more of it.
Yeah. You know, when you're dealing with an alternator or a generator, you know, the armature goes around a magnetic field, so
yes.
I'm assuming it's some kind of magnetic strip that's embedded in the pavement.
It would have to be like a cell phone charger or something that you just
Exactly. And it's done on impulse, our pulsing mechanisms. And supposedly it's going to be cleared here. They're doing it on buses in cities, like I said, in Detroit right now. And if you have a car that has that availability, you can get in that particular roadway and charge your battery as you're driving.
Wow.
Well, that's good information. We got to take a break.
Y'all have a great weekend and make her safe.
Hey, Ron, I love that. Thank you for that great technology update. I hadn't heard that one.
All right.
Okay, we'll be right back.
stop by our
own. That stock car boy, he the best driver in the land. He said that he learned to race the stock car by running shine out of Alabama. Put a demolition derby and the figure eight. It's easy money on the bank.
Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts for their spring break deals on lawn and garden batteries, tools, brake kits, and more. Visit their professional parts people who know just what you need to get the job done right. Kick off the season with fresh batteries for your lawn and garden gear. And right now, for a limited time, purchase any Superstart lawn and garden battery and get a $10 gift card after mail-in rebate. Don't miss out on the savings. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit O'ReillyAuto.com. And while we were pulled over, we were talking a little bit to Mason, our show producer, about the experience he's going to be doing tomorrow, jumping out of an airplane. Justin, he sounded a little bit nervous to me.
He wants you to stop talking about it because his anxiety's
Over. He sounded a little bit shaky to me.
So I think we just continue talking about it as much as we can so that he just make him as uncomfortable as possible. Yeah,
I think he's concerned about it. I really do. Okay, let's go over to the next caller. Yeah. Let's go visit with Kurt. Hey, Kurt, welcome to the CNC Auto Show, and what can we help you with?
Okay, first thing, my van, and then I'm going to do the tech tip.
All right. So we won't put you on stage yet because we're going to hear about your van first. We're ready.
Got a 2006 Ford E150 Econoline, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
The got about 300,000, not quite. But the transmission, when it shifts around 30 miles an hour, just basically goes into neutral. It just refuses to go anymore. You have to stop and let it reset. Mm-hmm. But then I found out that if I push the overdrive button off, it'll run.
Mm-hmm.
It'll go down the road.
Yep.
Is that in the transmission, or is there – somebody said there might be a module or something.
I believe that's
Transmission.
Yeah, that's going to have to go visit the transmission man.
Bad news, Kirk. Okay. That one is the overdrive part of transmission. But I'm going to tell you, do you drive this van mostly locally?
Yeah, about 15 miles a weekend.
Okay. Well, I can tell you that you can that overdrive button is there because when you're towing items, it makes it to where the engine is not put under as much load. You can leave that overdrive button in the off position and make sure your fluid level is good and continue to drive that bad boy because – the most that's going to happen if you're locally, the most that's going to happen is you might have to get the car towed in. More than likely, it'd give you other warnings, though, if other parts of the transmission went out to where you wouldn't just be on the side of the road. But I would say that as long as you're running, unless you're under time constraints sometime to where if something did act up, it would be terrible. You may even consider continuing to drive it and see how long it'll go without overdrive.
And I'd try to take it easy, you know.
He's got 300,000 miles on it, so he's been taking it easy.
It's done its time. You can't. It doesn't really owe you anything at this point.
Yeah.
But I would try not to tow like a trailer.
Yeah. You know. Kurt, you're driving free right now, man. Yeah,
it owes you nothing at 300,000.
All right. But I would push that button and keep driving.
And you want to get up on stage, is that correct?
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that. All right, hey, be still. Okay, you are on stage. I'll go ahead and mention, Jill drove her 2018 Toyota Prius at 75 miles per hour for almost 2 hours to get to her destination. She had something done to the Prius at her destination and drove the same route back going 75, and it took her over 3 hours to get back. And the only hint we've given so far is that when she was there, she got the car washed and detailed and really looking good, but it made it take her 3 hours to get back.
Okay, before I answer, I'm going to give a shout-out to Ernie Dinkins. He's over there listening to y'all on his radio.
Oh, good. Fantastic. Well, tell Ernie that I said hello. Well, 55 Chevy, is that right?
Yeah, 57 Chevy.
57.
57. Beautiful vehicle, too. Fantastic.
They're doing a yard sale over on Wrightsboro Road.
So yeah.
The gas car people.
Yep, the fantastic
Anyhow,
people.
I noticed
And the math doesn't work quite exact, but you said she drove 75 miles per hour there, but she drove 75 back.
Oh, you caught something there.
From miles to kilometers.
Are you saying that what could have happened?
While they were cleaning the inside of her car,
they pushed the button.
They mashed the button that switched it to KMH instead of MPH. Is that what you're insinuating?
That's what I'm insinuating.
Well, you know, that would explain a lot. She was going 75 miles per hour up there, and boom, everything looking good. And then if they push that button,
she's still showing 75.
Let me think just for a second. Let's see what the crowd.
The math ain't exact, but it's real close.
Let me see. All right, let me think now. She drove the Prius at 75 miles per hour there. While at her destination, the car was washed. They accidentally changed the speedometer to kilometers per hour. So even though she was still going 75 on a return trip, it was only 46 miles an hour.
Correct.
And so it took her an hour longer. And so you are the winner.
We got...
Thank you.
Wait, let me find the crowd here.
Yeah, find your stinger.
No, let's go with more.
Thank you very much.
Oh, there they are.
All right.
Winner, winner.
Yes. Yeah. Kurt, you are the absolute winner. You will receive one of these absolutely beautiful.
It's amazing.
I Answer Detective Quiz coffee mugs that you can sit there when you're talking to Ernie. You can sit there and hold your coffee mug where he can see part of it.
This part out with the trophy.
And now every time you go to one of those car shows, they're not going to refer to you as Kurt. Somebody's going to point over there and say, did you know he's a Tech Tip Quiz winner?
Yeah, he thinks he's better than all of us.
Yeah, it's going to be big. Yeah. Be ready to smirk, Kurt, when you look around. Okay.
I will.
Thank you so much.
I appreciate y'all. Have a good day. Thanks for the info, my man.
Thank you. You too. I cut him. We'll be right back after this. CNC Auto Show is brought to you in part by K-Seal, a one-step pour-in solution designed to stop coolant leaks and help prevent future leaks. You can find K-Seal at Walmart in addition to fine parts stores nationwide. Check store websites for hours and shipping information. And remember, don't just seal it, K-Seal it. And I am back with you with the CNC Auto Show and Justin Courtney co-hosting. And we're back on the road, ready to answer your automotive questions.
We are doing it.
Yeah, we are ready to roll. And we've been talking about a lot of technology type items. We've been answering a lot of questions. Somebody got the tech tip quiz. That was Kurt.
Carryover from last week.
So we've been doing some awesome stuff. So it is time to go over and talk to Ken.
Ken,
welcome to the CNC Auto Show. And what can we help you with?
How you doing today?
Perfect.
Hey, Ken.
Yeah. I've got a 2009 Mazda 5 minivan.
Okay.
And when I put it in reverse, it jumps in it real hard. And sometimes it'll even stall the engine. But wow. If I take it out of park, go straight to drive and let it sit for a second, then go reverse, it'll back up okay, except for when I go to stop and hit the brake, it's like the torque converter's not releasing or something or other, and it's wanting to push real hard against the brake and idle.
Yep. You've got something inside there mechanically. I'm not exactly sure which part it is, but you've got a clutch drum or something that's dragging, and it's banging into gear. You've got something. How many miles are on this thing, Ken?
About 85,000.
So not terribly a lot. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you've got something going on. I'd like to, if I was working on this car.
It only does reverse. It don't do it in drive.
Right. Yeah, your reverse, some of the circuitry inside the transmission is you know, reverse specific. So go ahead.
Ken, on the on here, have you checked or looked at the condition of the transmission fluid on what it looks like? Is it clear looking or burnt looking or what's your?
What's Hello?
Are you there, Ken?
I'm here. Are you there?
Yeah. I was wondering what the condition of the transmission fluid was. Was it burnt smelling or was it nice and clear? And
no, it's not.
Okay, not burnt smelling. Okay.
I did check that, no.
Has anyone checked the trouble codes inside the transmission? I mean, inside the computer?
Not that.
Okay. I would have the trouble codes checked just in case. There are a few items that can happen that can cause the transmission to go into like a limp home mode.
And there's some solenoids that can act up.
Yeah, but normally that's not the case. I'm leaning at a lot more what Justin is saying, but with a transmission being such a high dollar unit, I believe I would recommend going ahead just to be safe, have those codes tested to find out if there's any trouble code stored in there, and making sure that the computer does not have it in high pressure mode or limp home mode.
There could be something,
but unfortunately, it's more than likely going to end up being the transmission itself.
Yeah, it needs to see a technician and get a computer on that thing and see what's going on.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, need to take it someplace that's got a computer like y'all got the codes, or mm-hmm. one you go to an auto parts place and have them code it.
Well.
The auto part places probably will not go further enough into the computer to be able to give all the information that's going to need it. Many of the parts place computers, which is not a bad service. I think it's good what they do, but it's just a code reader and it'll just give the generic codes that are stored inside the computer. But many times they won't go into things like the airbag system, anti-lock brake system, powertrain control system, body control system. That computer just don't go into that. So I would recommend having that tested at a regular repair facility. Sure. Now, since it's free, you could probably go to a body shop, a parts place and have it checked just to see if it shows up.
And it might be a generic code that it puts out, but that code reader, all it does is tells you which system to start at. The diagnostics actually start after that.
Yeah. So I believe with it would be worth that going ahead and being sure.
Okay. Thank you.
All right.
Thank you for the call.
Great call. And we thank you. Number to call, 800-224-9090. If you have an automotive question, and let's go over and visit with John. John, welcome to the CNC Auto Show.
Well, thank you for taking my call.
Appreciate you calling.
We saw you were on there for a while.
I've got a high mileage vehicle that I've never had the shock absorbers changed on it. And I was wondering if either you can tell me the best ones to get, or if you can't do that, tell me how to decide for myself.
Okay.
If you got a high mileage vehicle, it's amazing the difference that a set of shocks is going to make on your car. Shocks wear out so slow that you don't hardly realize it until you replace them. And then you put new ones on, and then you drive the car that you've been driving for years, and it feels like a completely different car. Yes, absolutely. What kind of car is it?
It's a 99 Suburban.
Oh, yeah.
518,000.
How many?
518.
Wow, yeah. You've got all. That one's been a good one.
Got my money's worth.
Go down to your O'Reilly Auto Parts, wherever's near you. And we like to use KYB shocks and struts because they're just very well made. They've been around forever. You should have really good service life. I would wait till, I don't know if I'd wait 518,000 to change them again, but But yeah, KYB shocks and struts are great. You can get them right there at your local O'Reilly.
John, I will mention that that is just wonderful to see what you've done with that. We do the same thing. We get a lot of miles out of our vehicles. As a matter of fact, our shuttle vehicle here at the shop, it's shuttle and parts. We use it together, Ford Explorer. We just now retired it. Now, keep in mind, this is driven by a lot of different people here, and it has not been babied whatsoever.
Far from it.
But that Ford Explorer, it had 384,000 miles.
And it was still working.
It still runs like its top. Transmission felt good. The only reason we had to finally put it on the back burner and let it do light duty stuff is because we didn't want to give rides in it anymore because the interior was just pretty much worn. But I love people getting a lot of miles out of a vehicle.
Suburban's a pretty good vehicle, but you don't see them with that many miles unless somebody took care of it.
Yeah, you got to take care of them to do that. And that's
even
where
a
all
good car
of,
needs to be took care of.
Yeah, a lot of times saying, well, I'm getting this many miles and I'm driving for free pretty much. But in respect, you're getting a payoff from an investment that you made all through the course of that vehicle's life, getting that many miles. You've did things the right way, and so you get a lot of miles, and still doing them the right way. You're gathering information on what to do on the shock.
And your truck is going to ride very good. Now, another thing I would do while I was doing that, while I was doing the shocks, which I'm about 99% sure are going to benefit you greatly, is have that thing put up in the air and have the front end shook down on it, because the Suburban's technically just a Chevy truck and they're pretty good vehicles, but
even that, the front end parts last a long time. You may be fine on that.
You might be. Just have it shook down while they're putting.
We've had front end parts replaced.
Okay. So you've had the ball joints and stuff like that.
Never had to do anything with the engine. The engine's original.
Well, that's a sign that you've been taking care of it.
Just to help others, John, just real quickly, how often do you have the vehicle serviced?
We actually don't do it on a regular basis. We just have it repaired except for changing the oil.
That's what I mean,
changing the oil. How often do you do that?
Okay. It's not regular. I hate to admit that. Uh-huh. But it was always used synthetic. Uh-huh. I always use Mobil 1.
That's a good product.
Probably better synthetics, yep. But it's been good for us.
Yeah. What I found out is so many times when people try to go 8, 9, 10,000 miles on an oil change, they end up with having problems. Those that I see keep it at around 5, they seem to do very well.
5 is a really good rule to follow.
On that type vehicle. Now, some vehicles can go longer, and some vehicles I recommend shorter, but that's a good deal. John, I'm so glad. And
it has started losing oil pressure just at idle.
Uh-huh.
It used to hold up around 40, but it's dropping back to about 20 now.
Well, I think it deserves to get that. To fall back just a little bit. Hey, John, I appreciate the call.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank
y'all. We'll be right back after this. And we're back with you. I'm Aaron Clements, and I'm here with Justin Courtney, and we are answering automotive questions. We're talking about cars that have to do with alternative sources.
Newer technologies.
Electric. We really hadn't covered a lot of those yet.
We've had so many good callers today.
Yeah, we had some fantastic callers today. And of course, during the breaks, we've been in there talking with Mason about his trip he's going to be making to Mars skydiving. It'd be the first time he's jumped out in an airplane. And of course, we're trying to give him
as much anxiety as we can.
He was showing us the video of him doing that. It is kind of neat. I mentioned him when I went. It was my goggles kept flying all around. It was kind of
smacking you in the face. That makes for a fun skydive.
It messed up my whole video that I had. I mean, you couldn't tell what you couldn't tell anything. Okay, let's go over to David. Hey, David, welcome to the CNC Auto Show. And what can we help with?
Hi, David.
Well, I got a 1990 Dodge with a Cummins diesel, and it's burning up the electronic voltage regulators.
In the alternator?
The regulator is mounted on the firewall.
Mm-hmm. But it's the charging system regulator?
Yes, it's regulated externally.
Okay.
And I replaced the alternators, and no matter what you do, within 3 or 4 days, it'll burn up the new voltage regulator.
Go ahead.
I apologize, Aaron.
I'll recommend the thing that pops into my head as you're talking is sometimes if the engine does not have a good ground to the body, that there's a chance that could affect the voltage regulator. That can be found by running a voltage drop test.
We've already done that.
Well, don't mess me up with reality now, because I mean, you're supposed to say, "Wow, that is a fantastic
idea." That's what I'm
going to
do as soon as I hang up the phone.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'll do. Okay, so you run the voltage drop test. All right, now what type of voltage regulators are you getting? Are you getting aftermarket voltage regulators, or are these new?
What they call Fisher's Auto Parts around here. Mm-hmm. They're made by Standard Parts.
Standards seem
and by Blue Street.
Yeah, that's
by Blue Street.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would tell you Standard products are normally real
good
products.
Product, yep.
But what just about any part that you can run into, it can be a defect on the way the part is built. I would consider getting either a different brand or go ahead and getting an OE part. That way you'll know that's there. And now, if this was something that cost $1,000, I probably wouldn't be telling you to do this, because you may be risking money, because if you put it on there, and of course it's a factory part and it burns it up, you pretty much lost that money. But if the voltage drops have been made on the vehicle and the wiring diagram, I would follow the wiring diagram, make sure a good inspection has been done. And by inspection, let's say that you've got a wire that's running from the from this regulator to the computer. You may
it doesn't have a computer.
Yeah, it's a 90. It's a diesel.
Oh, a 90 model. Okay. So this will be from the regulator to the alternator.
Right.
And you run that, I would check and make sure that the ohms check is good and make sure that it's not touching ground anywhere.
The problem
check
with
those wires.
Exactly. I still think you got a wire, and I still think it's ground related. Even though your ohms might show 0 ohms, it might be perfect. It won't carry any current, and that externally regulated alternator, that regulator needs to have a good ground, not necessarily to the body, but all the way back to that engine block, all the way back to where that alternator is bolted.
Now, I put an ancillary ground from the voltage regulator down to the engine block.
Now, on the outside of the regulator, or one of the wires going to the regulator, because one of those is a ground also.
Now, I went from the case ground on the voltage regulator.
Right, but I'm pretty sure one of the wires that plugs into the regulator is also a ground. I think I'd have to look at the regulator. I'd have to look at a diagram, but I think you've got battery power. You've got an alternator out. You've got there's a couple other things that are going to it, but I'm almost sure one of the wires in the plug is a ground also.
Well, there's only one wire in and one wire out, and I think I don't think that's correct.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. So it just has two wires going to the regulator?
Two wires going to the regulator.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
I believe I would disconnect that wire that goes down to the alternator. One of those wires does go to the alternator, and I would run an ohms check on that wire, and then also touch that ohms lead to ground to make sure that that wire is not grounding inside that harness, and do a very good visual inspection of that wire all the way down. You very well may have a wire inside a harness. Now, here's something commonly that I would see having a problem like that is I would see the wiring harness running from the voltage regulator, and it would be running down to the alternator, and I might see where a piece of the wiring harness has touched the exhaust manifold, and the wiring got hot inside that area. So do a good inspection on that wire.
Now, when you have a good regulator on it before it quits, what's your charging voltage on your battery with a meter on it?
Well, about 14.5.
14.5. Well, that sounds right. And the alternator is fine. You've had it. There's nothing going on.
I've replaced two alternators.
Okay, yeah.
The alternators haven't been the problem, but now, this thing will run 4 or 5 days or maybe even a month before it burns your regulator up, and then it'll start charging 18 volts.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'd have to see the wiring diagram, but I don't have it in front of me. I apologize. I'd like to see that one myself. But you've got something. You've
now
got
this a, may you've be got going a, to a stream, but you may. I mean, you got two wires. You could run one wire straight out of the regulator and run it, bypass everything, run it straight to the alternator. And then on the I was trying to remember where that second wire went. I should know that, but I don't.
It goes to the voltmeter, I believe.
Okay. The light or the voltmeter.
Oh, huh. Okay. Now I have seen the voltmeters act up on that model too.
Voltmeter. I didn't think of that.
The voltmeter itself can act up on that vehicle. So, what I would recommend doing is while the engine is running, reach your hand behind that behind the dash where that voltmeter is and feel those wires and see if you feel excessive heat back there. Because usually what happens is the wires that are going over to the voltmeter behind the dash, they'll get real hot, and that'll cause them to lose the connection more, and then they'll get looser and looser and cause problems. So
and
I think that's where I would start.
Burn up your regulator. Yeah, I didn't. Yeah. That's
and
a,
then
that,
with
that's
that
good...
wiring diagram, just follow those wires everywhere that it can go and do a good visual inspection. You're going to find a wire that has very high resistance in it somewhere, probably at the voltmeter itself.
And even if it shows good resistance, it won't carry any current.
Exactly. Okay. And David,
I'll check her out and see what happens.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Okay. Time clock's on the E. We need to pull over for now. I'm Aaron Clements here with automotive expert Justin Courtney. Our show producer is Mason Rogers, who will be jumping out of an airplane tomorrow. We'll be back next week with a full tank and ready to ride. Thank you all that tuned in. Special thank you to all of you that called in to ride with
us.
We
had some great callers today. We really enjoyed it. We'll carry on next week and see if we can keep this train rolling.
Yes, we will. That'll be next week on the CNC Auto Show.